Praise God. If you could turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. If you have your iPads or your phones or apps or whatever you're using. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You can be seated. I've tried to quote this verse twice, the last two times I've preached, and I've gotten it wrong both times. I haven't said it wrong, I've just butchered it as I've tried to say it. But this verse, I've told you before, has special meaning to me. I believe this is a verse God gave me in a real rough moment in my life. And it's an important verse, but I want to break it apart just to start out here, and then we'll go a little bit deeper. So it says, "For we are his workmanship." This is something he made, right? They're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not just to save us. Yes, he wants to save us, but it's to make us into something beautiful. The Hebrew Bible translates this word as a work of art, a masterpiece. And he's created us for good works, for we are his special work of art, created not just to look cool or for to be pretty, but for good works. So we're clear here, there's good works. But it's interesting because works are not how we are saved, but our good works show that we are saved. Okay, so there's a nuance here. I'm going to, remember at Mother's Day when I had to try to explain the difference between idle and idol all day long? Today we're going to explain the difference between good works and good works and good works all night long. See if we can do that. He made this beforehand, so he had this master plan to make you his masterpiece beforehand. He said, "I've been planning this a long time. I know they're going to make mistakes. I know they might not choose, but I have a plan and a master plan, a work of art for each person." But then at the end it says that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. Now, the sentence structure, "them," is referring to the good works. So we're supposed to walk in good works. There's a version that we don't even have here called the New Revised Standard Version or something. And we got a card, my wife and I did, a number of months ago. And in the card, it had this verse. Really cool. It's one of my favorite verses. Had this verse, and this is what it says with this New Standard Revised Version. It says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Okay, now that's making more sense, this idea of that we should walk in them. These good works should be our way of life. It should be the way we walk. It should be the way we live, our moment-by-moment connection with God. Each day should be a life of obedience and love and sacrifice and living right, a life of prayer and meditating on God's word, a life of not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And so when we say that, when he's saying that beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should walk in these good works, that's what I want to talk about tonight. Kind of what's walking in them? What does that look like? So that's a theme for tonight. I want to spend some time talking about walking in good works through the Bible, review some times that walking is mentioned in the Bible. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I did not review them all, so please don't think I did. But there's some key ones that I think are valuable. So I want to start in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and we're going to start at the beginning of where we read verse 10. Okay, so 2, verse 1, and it says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And full disclosure, we're going to go in and out of these verses a lot. So always go back, have your thumb in Ephesians 2 if that's where you're flipping back to. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which," verse 2, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Okay, so this is the start of Ephesians 2. Remember, verse 10 says that you should walk in them, walk in good works. But it starts in verse 2, "you walked according to the course of this world." You lived, you conducted yourself in a way that matched the way this world wanted to live. We regulated our lives according to this way. But he also said, you used to walk according to the course of this world. Because he's saying, I have delivered you. I have done a good work in your life. I have made it so that you can live freely. And so you used to walk, or once walked, according to the course of this work. In this verse, walking is more, they're referring it more like meandering. Seemingly not going anywhere specific, kind of going where the wind is going. How many people have ever heard the phrase, the drunkard's walk? You've heard the phrase? How many people have read the book? Wow. A book in 2008 called The Drunkard's Walk by a statistician, physician, some super smart person, talked about how the drunkard's walk is a mathematical concept. Okay? And what it is it's used to define how a number could be, and I'm going to get this wrong, but how a series of random events happen. And so if you just took like a thing and said you step once in any direction, like a drunk person, and they just kind of go, right? And you don't really know where they're going. It's just totally random. And so they use this to analyze stock markets and prices and different things to see, is it truly random or is it not, right? So the drunkard's walk is this walk that seems random, this collection of numbers that seems random. So it's like they're talking about this in verse 2. You walked according to the course of this world. You kind of just meandered along, kind of lazily floating about, kind of seemingly not going anywhere, not really being driven anywhere. But what's interesting is it's really not random in this case. Even though it seems random, it seems like there's some sort of meandering. That's the way they want to translate this. There's some sort of meandering. Because it says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. So it seems random. You're just like kind of going with the flow. I'm going to do life the way the world is doing life. I'm going to do life the way that everybody else is doing life. And yeah, we're just kind of going this way. Maybe it seems a little random. There's really not purpose. But if you were to zoom out and look at it from God's perspective, he's saying, actually, you're being influenced by the devil. We see a similar idea in Psalms 1. Walking. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In this case, we're saying the person who doesn't do this is blessed. So let's talk about the person who isn't blessed. Is the person who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. The person who lives according to the way of the ungodly. Is this making sense? It's just like what Paul was talking about in Ephesians. They're not living according to the advice of the Bible. They're living according to the advice of the ungodly. But he's saying these people, the blessed people, don't follow the worldview. Now, what's interesting in this verse, it doesn't really tell you what the worldview is. It doesn't say what the ungodly do. So we have to kind of guess what they do based on what it says the godly do. Right? Because the godly are the people that aren't the ungodly. And so the ungodly are the opposite. So we got to see what the godly do. So let's keep reading. Let's start over. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, so if you're not following the worldview, and doesn't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the street seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, we see it in comparison. You might not, in this verse, see what the ungodly does, but I'll tell you what the godly does. The godly is someone who delights in God's word. The godly is someone that meditates in God's word day and night. The godly is somebody who plants themselves by the rivers of living water. They put themselves in an advantageous place to grow. They're bringing forth, and because of this, they bring forth fruit in their season. All these things I'm describing are not the ungodly. These are the people. These are not the people that are following the worldview. Because he said, don't do that. And then you'll bring forth fruit in your season. Your leaf won't wither. And everything you do will prosper. And so I present tonight the idea that this walking in them, walking in good works, we see in this example, is a regular connection with God. Prayer. Walking in good works is meditating on his word, Bible reading. Walking in good works is being patient and planted in the right place to grow. That's what walking in good works is. And then we start to see fruit because of this. This is the godly person, the person that's walking in good works. Notice in this case, the walking is defined as the things you do and don't do. It's not defined as bearing fruit. Okay, the fruit is what happens because of where you're walking, because of how you're choosing to live your life. The fruit comes from that, not that is the fruit. So let's keep going. Verse 3. So verse 2, remember, you once used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So now Paul's saying, remember, verse 2, he said, you once walked according to the course of this world, right? And we also once conducted ourselves according to the lusts of our flesh. King James says, and we had our conversations with. Conducted is we lived this way. We lived according to our flesh. Our lifestyle was according to whatever pleased us. In the New Testament, our flesh is this part of us that was born to want to do bad things. And God has said, I have conquered death. You don't need to fulfill the things your flesh wants to do. But what Paul is saying is that we used to live out the things we wanted to do in our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so we're like, this is what I think to do, I'm going to do it. This is what I feel to do, I'm going to do it. This is what I'm craving, I'm going to do it. It's a little bit nuanced from just following the worldview. The worldview, you're just following it. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. This is just like, this is what makes me feel good, I'm going to follow it. And when we live according to the flesh, we will fulfill the desires of the flesh. So Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, this is Paul again. Paul talks a lot about this. It's all woven in and out. He says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. So he's saying, remember verse 3, you used to walk according to the flesh, you used to live according to the things that you wanted, following after what looks and feels good and maybe is popular and will cause you to end up fulfilling the things of the flesh. So he's saying, if you spend your time on the things you desire that are just, this is my heart, this is my mind, this is just what I want to do, this will make me feel good, you will end up, that's what you'll get. And maybe there's some good in that, but that's not in this case because Paul's not saying that. Because he says, if I walk in the Spirit though, I will not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. So now we're starting to see this idea of walking according to the Spirit. I liken this to walking in good works. Walking according to the Spirit. Whatever we spend our time with, that is what will dominate our thoughts and will dominate our actions. So if we read this verse and he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, the opposite must be true. If you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the things of the Spirit. It's interesting. He gave one example. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there's like four permutations of that. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the things of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the things of the flesh. And if you walk in the flesh, you won't fulfill the things of the Spirit. And he's saying these two things don't get along. You can't try to say, hey, I want to be good and I want to see fruit in my life. I want to see good works in my life, but I don't want to spend time doing the good work of being close to God, of not walking in the counsel of the ungodly or not standing in the way of sinners. It's, I want to have good works in my life, but I don't want to do the good works. And I know we're not saved by works. We'll get to that. But I don't want to do these things of, like, I want to spend time in prayer. I want to spend time reading God's word. I want to spend time meditating. I want to put myself in an advantageous position to grow. So we continue on, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, here we go. The works of the flesh are evident, which are. Now, remember, he said, He said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So if you do the things of the flesh, you'll end up seeing the works of the flesh in your life. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on. But the fruit of the Spirit, the results of living by the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When we think of works, it's the thing that's produced by what you do, or it produces something. When we walk in the works of the flesh, it produces the works of the flesh. Adultery is a work of the flesh. Fornication is a work of the flesh. Hatred is a work of the flesh. These are the products of following what your flesh wants to do. So if you're constantly saying, well, my flesh wants to dabble over here, it will always take you further than that. It doesn't start. You don't start with adultery. You don't start with fornication. You don't start with hatred. You don't start with selfish ambition. You start with just a little bit of, you know what, I'm just going to do a little bit of this. It's not that bad. It's a small thing. And little by little, I start to live more and more and more according to the flesh. And then I see more and more and more of the flesh at work in my life, because the fruit of the flesh is all these things we just mentioned. And that's what happens when we're spending our time walking in the counsel of the ungodly. When we're spending our time walking according to the things of this world, according to the worldview that exists. Walking in the works of the flesh produces the works of the flesh. Walking in good works produces good works. It produces outward fruit. The good work of following God, praying, meditating on his word, fasting, abstaining from the things that are not godly, that are not godly, if we do all that, it produces good works in our lives. It produces fruit. It produces blessings in our lives. I think a lot of times we get this backwards, and we say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and we sit here and we read that verse, and we're just like, you just need to have more love, man. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Just have more love. Why don't you just try harder? Find a podcast that teaches you more love. Find a podcast that teaches you more long-suffering, Brother Rossing. Just find it so you can get that long suffering. You need to work on long suffering. I'm not saying that for Brother Rossing. He's my friend. I'm just using his name. But I think a lot of times we're striving for fruit and not striving to do the things of God where the fruit comes out of. The good work of this fruit, the good fruit that comes out of it, is because of the good work we walk in on a daily basis. Because of the walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life. And so if I can convince you to do anything tonight, I'd say quit trying to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. We should covet them. We should want to have love and joy and peace and all this in our life. But there's no way. They're contrary, right? If you're going to spend all your time doing not even horribly evil things, but if you're going to spend all your time doing the things that aren't of God, why would the things of God show up in your life? It's like planting orange seeds and hoping a banana shows up. And then being mad that the banana didn't show up. And so we focus on doing the work of being close to God. Doing the work of prayer. And when I say walk in them, it means when things are happening in your life, this is what's important to me. I'm not saying you pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you fast 40 hours every 40 days every 3 months. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the simple walk of saying, okay, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. That means I'm going to pursue God a little bit today. I'm going to reach out to him in prayer today. Good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever goes on in my day, I'm going to make sure I make time to meditate on his word today. And as I do that little by little, as I'm planted by the rivers of living water, the fruit will show up and everything I do will prosper. And so if we could stop trying for the prosper and trying for the fruit and start focusing on the spending time with God, walking in good works, the good works will show up in our lives. Verse 4, Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in trespasses, he is saying, he's reiterating that when we walk according to the course of this world, it will always lead to death. Maybe not death as in you die, but we're all going to die. But it'll lead to death in your life. It'll lead to death in your finances. It'll lead to death in your marriage. It'll lead to the things in your life will not see fruit because we are not walking according to the things of God. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Okay, Paul, you're confusing us here. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So wait. In verse 9 you say it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And in verse 10 you say you need to walk in good works. Okay, Paul, I'm getting a little confused. Not of works. So let's try to, this is where I might confuse everybody, might confuse myself here. We'll call it the good works sandwich, okay? It's almost like we read in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. God came to earth, he died on the cross, and because of that, he has done the good work of saving our lives. He has done the good work of reconciling us so that we can choose to live according to him. We then respond by walking in good works. And when we walk in good works, we see the fruit of good works in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that the good work is the saving work of God, right? Philippians 1:6, the good work is a saving work of God, and it continues. We talked about that when we brought up the topic of a good work. But we can still walk in that saving work of God. Let me explain what that looks like. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we deserve it. Sometimes it doesn't feel that we are qualified or that we have enough experience or that we haven't read through the Bible enough or that we don't know the right words to say. And so even though God has created and created a good work in us, he saved us, we choose to sit back and say, oh, God, that's a great work and I'm just not deserving of it. And you know, I don't feel right about it. It doesn't feel like I deserve it. It doesn't feel like I should try to walk in that good work because I think that was for someone else and you don't know my sins or where they were at and how big it is. But we have to walk in response to the good work, not in response to what we're thinking and feeling and what the world tells us. I have a funny story. We were in Iraq, and we were flying helicopters, and every now and then we got a VIP mission where you take and you fly somebody famous or a general somewhere, okay? And so we'd get a general in the helicopter. They'd pull up in their SUVs. They'd get in the helicopter, and we'd fly them somewhere, and then we'd land them somewhere. And then we'd wait around while they did whatever it is they were doing. I have no idea most times. And then we'd get the call, we'd start up the helicopter, and they walk to the helicopter, we'd give them the thumbs up, they'd get in, and then we'd fly back to wherever the base is. There was this one time we landed, and they told us, you're going to be here for a while. You know, you can go explore the base or whatever you want to do. So we turn off the helicopter, and we start walking away. Me and I think there were two helicopters, so there were four crew chiefs and four pilots. And one of our pilots was older, and so he just didn't really care. And we walk up. He's like, I'm hungry. Where's some food? We need to find some food. And so he found this place that looked like the mess hall. And he said, he's like, where is everybody? There's a door right here. He's like, I don't know where everybody is. He looks at all of us. I remember this to this day. He looks at all of us and says, whatever happens when you walk through this door, pretend like you're supposed to be here. Just pretend it. He's, you know, I'm young. I'm like 21. He's just like, just pretend you're supposed to be here. We're going to walk in. We're going to get some food. And then we're going to eat. And then we'll leave. I said, okay. You know, he's older. I trust him. He's been around a long time. We open the doors. It is the most decorated mess hall I've ever seen. Completely empty. Very fancy. And we walk right up to the food line. We grab our plates. We grab the best food that we could get. The best drinks. We load it up. We go sit down at a table and we start eating. We're like, this is really cool. Like, who's this for? And, you figured it out. Who's this for? And we're starting to clean up, and all of a sudden the general walks in with all of his staff. And they start eating, or they start getting in line, and everybody else starts getting in line. And we get up, we finish, we throw our stuff away, we walk out. No one says a word to us. We get up, we walk out, and a couple of us peek around the mess hall. It's this big, giant area. And there is a line a quarter of a mile long of people that we just cut in front of. We walked in the back door. We had no idea. Yeah. It was pretty cool. And it was the general's meal, and it was really good. And we got it while it was hot. I know the people at the back of the line were not going to get it while it was hot. Right? And I learned a lesson that day about what it's like to walk in good works. Sometimes you just got to pretend. You just got to tell yourself, I'm meant to be here. God has done a good work in my life. And yes, I screwed up yesterday. And maybe this breakfast isn't for me, but I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to pretend like I'm supposed to be here, because you are supposed to be here. To your brain, it feels like pretending, but to God, it feels like, wow, you're actually doing what I asked you to do. And that's what walking by faith is. Walking by faith is doing the thing that God has told you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it's like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know. But God's word says it. And that's why Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. Even when it doesn't feel natural and it doesn't make sense, we need to walk as if he has already saved us. Because he has. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is, yes, it's praying and it's meditating on God's word and putting yourself in the right place to be fed. But walking in God's Spirit is also saying, hey, I know today is a total dumpster fire, but I'm still a child of God and I got to claim that. I know there's been some rough things in my life, but I'm going to claim this and say, God, I'm still with you. You're still with me today. I'm still walking with you. I'm walking in the Spirit. And then he says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. He's made us something great. We are the good work that he is doing. But he wants us to do good works. And we should walk in them. Psalms 23, if we're talking about walking, it'd be amiss not to mention Psalms 23. Psalms 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you go through and read all these things, and I haven't read them all, okay? I'll be honest with you. I'll always be honest with you. I haven't read them all. I haven't found one yet that said you will only walk at mountaintops. Maybe I'm missing one. I haven't found one yet that says you will only walk on streets of gold for forever. That'll be eternity. I haven't found one yet that says you won't scrape your foot up against a boulder or against a thistle. I haven't found one yet that says there will be no hills to climb. There will be no obstacles to go around. I haven't found any of that, because there will be valleys in our lives. There will be struggles. There will be obstacles in our life. But if we are walking in God, if we are walking in good works, if we are walking in the Spirit, then God is with me and I don't have anything to fear. That's what David is saying here, even if I walk, I'm walking with God. And even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anything because he's with me. Walking with the Spirit is bringing God with you wherever you go. And then it doesn't matter where you go because he is with you and you have nothing to fear. In fact, the correction, you know, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's how we get the sheep to go where we want. It's how God gets his sheep to move around to the way he wants. Oh, nope, stay away from that. Oh, I need you to come back here. Nope, we're all going this way. If we're going to be led of God, like it says in Psalms 23, we got to be okay with a little prodding every now and then, with a little rod and staff in our lives. The correction, the work that God is doing in my life will be a comfort to me. The comfort and work that God has to do in my life will be a comfort to me. If I am doing the good work of connecting with God, of leaning on him, of meditating on his word, of spending time where I am fed spiritually, of avoiding the worldview of this world, then the valleys become a place of learning. Then we're not trying to avoid the valleys. We're not trying to avoid the difficult situations because I know that's where I learn. That's where I grow because I'm walking with God. And I come out of the valley stronger. And I come out of the valleys with fruit in my life. And yes, this situation that I went through was pure craziness for 2 years. But man, I am so much more compassionate out the other side. Because while I walked through it, I didn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. I didn't stand in the way of sinners. I didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. I didn't trust my heart. I didn't trust my mind. I said, I'm going to follow God and walk in good works. And when I get through this, because I have been walking according to the Spirit, his good works are going to be seen in my life. I'll start seeing valleys as a place of growth. I'll start seeing valleys as a place of learning, a place where I can connect with God more than I ever could on the mountain because I'm actually having to be real with God for once. Don't waste your valleys, church. Let's not waste our valleys. He never said it would be comfortable. He never said it would be easy. He never said that walking in good works would be fun all the time. But he said if we walk in good works, the fruits of the Spirit are going to be evident in our life. He didn't say it would be comfortable or easy, but in Romans 8:28, Paul says, but we know all things work together. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. To those people that choose to say, I'm going to walk according to the things of God. I'm going to walk in good works. And whatever comes my way, God's going to do a work in it. And all things will work together. They'll work out. My life will be better for it. Everything I do shall prosper. There will be fruit. Let's look at the two verses before Romans 8:28. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Let's stand. Verse 26, it says, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. So when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are choosing to do the things of God, when we are saying, God, being with you and being connected with you and meditating on your word and being planted in the right spot, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps in our valleys. The Spirit helps in our obstacles. The Spirit helps in our struggles. The Spirit helps us with whatever we're going through. And it might not be to remove that thing. It might not be to lift you out of the valley because the valley is where you grow. It might not be to lift you out of that financial problem because maybe there's a lesson we have to learn there. It might not be to get that marriage out of your way because maybe there's a lesson that marriage is teaching you. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we are walking in the Spirit, church, when we are praying in the Spirit, we know that all things work together for good. That's the verse that follows that. The first two verses are The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And when we pray in the Spirit, then we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Church, we got to walk in it. We got to walk in good works. We got to walk in what God has asked us to do. We got to walk in prayer. We got to walk in meditation of God's word. We got to walk in fasting. We got to walk in staying away from the things of the world view and of our flesh and our heart to say, I want to pursue God at all costs. We can walk in good works by responding to salvation. We can walk in good works with our lifestyle. And we can walk in good works when the outward results, the fruit, start to show up in our lives. God wants somebody to start walking in good works. Not all of a sudden coming down here magically having love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering. But somebody that says, God, I'm making a commitment today to start putting you in my day. To start putting your word in my day somewhere. Start small. Commit small, fail fast. And so, now's an opportunity for you to pray. And just start the conversation with God again. God, am I pursuing the good works, the fruits, or am I pursuing the good work of just being with you and trusting those fruits will show up in my life? Trusting that everything I do will prosper. Trusting that the fruit will actually show up if I will just meditate on your word. If I will just pursue you at all costs. You can pray where you're at. You can pray around the front, but talk to God tonight. Come spend some time. Come spend some time talking to God. Maybe it's an appreciation of what He's done, the good work He's done. Maybe it's appreciation of the good work He wants to do. Maybe it's a commitment to start having our lifestyle follow what He wants. Come and pray tonight. Talk to God. Be honest with God tonight.